Today on the podcast, I've got Joel Trindade. Joel is a spatial designer, a set designer. He designs a lot of those things that you see on the television sometimes where you look and it looks like the whole set where the real people are standing are inside a computer screen, or it's all completely visually designed on a computer. Joel does a lot of that kind of stuff, although his background is in classic architectural design. He started his career using pen and paper on those kind of architects drafting desks, the ones that kind of go up and down that you would have seen in old photos. Although he's not that old, so I'm surprised that he was actually using pen and paper. And then he moved on to AutoCAD and computer-aided design, and now he's using a lot of artificial intelligence to develop his ideas, to storyboard his ideas, and move them back and forward between the programs he uses to design these sets. So Joel's got really interesting stuff. He's also like a really futuristic thinker, one of those like super creative minds where he's really thinking about stuff that's so far ahead. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Joel Trindade. This is AI for Everyone, a weekly roundup of the most interesting stories in AI and tech for non-tech people who like to keep themselves informed and educated about the latest developments from around the world. I'm Miles Dillon, and I believe that AI is going to have a positive impact on our lives, but those people who continually learn and adapt to the changes it brings will be the ones who benefit the most. Let's get into it for this week. Hey, Joel, thank you so much for coming on chatting on the podcast, Joel Trindade. And Joel is a dude that I met. He's actually a friend of a friend. And we met, it sounds very glitzy, at a film premiere in Leicester Square, but actually wasn't quite as glitzy as because it sounded. I got pushed along the red carpet by security guards. When someone says they're a set designer, probably to most people, they think that you are designing like that. It's like on television, it would be sort of how it looks when someone comes onto the Graham Norton show, the sofa and the desk that Graham Norton's behind. That would be classic set design, right? Have you done any of that to a set design? And then have you moved into doing more like visual creative stuff?
No, that's pretty much, you've hit it on the nail. In the simplest form, in the simplest terms, we help design the space, that an immersive space where you can use it in any platform, a space and the form inside of it. So there's different shapes and forms and how people interact with it and the space around that. And it can be live broadcast, TV, live events, pop-ups, interior spaces, architecture, luxury brands, staging, theater. These are the various platforms. And a set designer really helps express the direction that maybe the creative director has in their minds about telling the story. I'm speaking a little bit metaphorically, but it kind of just gives it a bit of a glimpse. You can apply that in any area.
So the one thing I saw on your website set that it was a sort of like a football, was it like FA Cup something with Arsenal? And that's kind of something that I see quite often on the television, where it's the presenters are sitting in a studio, but the game and the stats and stuff are sort of coming up on a screen, but it's kind of like part of the studio.
So in essence, it was a Pepsi Champions League, and instead of the conventional stage approach where you've got a stage and you've got a screen behind you and you've got people in front of that, I think the goal was from the client, they wanted to make it more engaging and intimate. So we shifted that dynamic a bit, shifted the LED screen a little bit to make it a little bit more immersive and the shape of it, and it just means now that someone in the room can feel connected to what is the conversation on stage. And then there's this layer of interactivity and screen time and picture within picture, instead of that being in post edits, so that can be in the live, so people can actually see that and feel that in the room, as well as people that are just watching it. So you're getting a same experience. And now the tech, you have technology that can do that, especially since COVID happened.
Someone came a few years ago saying, please come and just do, what did you do, storyboard or give like initial ideas? Like, how did you do that before? And then I'll ask you how are you now, you know, whether you're using AI. I know you are because we had a chat about it, but how it changed your workflow now?
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, I'll go further back. Like, I think I first started drawing things on drawing boards, the technical side of things, to be able to fabricate that, etc. So that's where I started. And then I started to realize that my skill was, I could do great drawings. And then using what they call CAD, which is an auto, it's called AutoCAD, just like computer aided drafting. in a way you're drawing things in a computer, but even that has its limits. You can do as much as you can, but you still limit. And what you see out there now is the limitations of the software that you got. In this present day, we're having all these new softwares that are doing the same thing, you know, becoming more convenient, time and money, and filling in the deficits.
Do you want to say a bit about what they are then? And then, so we talked about Midjourney together, didn't we?
Yes. So I was just about to say a few software. So I started using Midjourney, which is brilliant when it comes to there's so many different image on image prompting that starts to create these visuals that are different variations to what you have even imagined it. So it just creates more and more options. So we have a limitation of how much we can create because we're all creative. I believe we're all creative. I use another one called Stable Diffusion, which is a lot more accurate with prompting.
Just explain what you do though. So like someone's listening, you don't really know what that is. You would have an idea and you would
So in essence, I've got certain ideas based off a brief. My go-to software at the moment is SketchUp Pro, where it's a three-dimensional software, and I'm able to create all these forms and shapes in a space with human interaction, with all these inspirations and all that. Then there's a process of actually visualizing that to so that my client can see what that's going to look like. That usually takes a bit of time because there's a lot of carving out, adding lighting, adding texture, and all that. Now, these softwares within seconds, up to like 60 seconds, can create and visualize these ideas instantly through various prompting that you put in the software. The Midjourney is great. The more detailed you go into the prompting, the better the visual, and the more variations you can get that you never thought were there. It's the same thing with Stable Diffusion. You can start to really shape these out-the-box thinking thoughts and ideas based off an initial sketch. It could even be a pencil sketch that you take a photo, put it in the software, and it starts to prompt certain assets or certain prompting to actually create these visuals. Oh, actually, I never thought of that. And it just starts the developing process of that.
And then would you take that image and put it into what you're saying it's called SketchUp?
No, it's actually I've already done the SketchUp side of it, and then it already creates it, and then I'm start then I keep developing that, and then sometimes there's a back and forth. So, oh, actually, let me move it here and all that. So it's never a linear process. It's actually more of a scribble and going back and forth into the side and all that before you even come up with it. And that's the process I think a lot of artists want to. They never want the linear. They want to explore the variations. They want to find the thread. They want to find the narrative to find the best result. You know, SketchUp and AutoCAD are actually integrating a lot of the AI now into their software. So rather than having it separately, it's all integrated. And now the tools, before the tool was the pen and the paper, which, you know, I still use occasionally when, you know, all the things are switched off. Because it's that process of what's in your mind, putting it on paper. That's the conceptual idea. Now it's just my laptop, I mean, or even my iPad and stylus, because it's easily transferable. And who knows, now that there's Apple Vision Pro, where there's this hybridity, probably just a layering or hybrid of what's real and what's virtual, because you still feel landed in a real space. You're not fully virtual, you're not lost in space, you know? And who knows how it's going to shape what I do. But in essence, I think it's really there's a support. It's just a support of my thinking, my think, making things that are convenient, making things that are fresh and new, and filling in those deficit gaps, you know.
Where do you see it going in the future? What sort of stuff have you seen that you think this is going to totally change my industry? I imagine you're working with producers of TV shows, and you know, where can you see the AI is going to be going in the future, and stuff that you think, ah, this is doing quite a lot, Midjourney and other image generators, but if you could just do this thing, is there anything you look at and you think, wow, that if that happens, man, the whole thing's going to get turned on its head?
Oh, so, yeah, that's a good question. How to see things completely in the future? As a tool in my world, the conceptual development is definitely shifting. What I call, like, the design development, which, now you're going into a little bit more detail of how it's filling in a bit of gaps. Like, if I design a table with no legs, what does that actually mean? How is it mounted to a wall? AI is going to be able to work that out, as rather than me trying to work it out. The fact that I've just come up with a table with no legs, I don't know, something I think from the complete swinging the pendulum completely to the edge. It's something about the meta that I don't completely get just yet, the meta world and how we're going to interact with that. TVs and screens are going to, personally, they're going to be a thing of the past, where, yeah, you're going to be completely immersive, and you can engage with shows in a different way that we can't imagine. And the only way you can think about it are, what are the top people doing right now to almost create those platforms? And the building of a new city I follow, it's called Neom, and it's a line, they call it the line. And it's a 170-kilometer line city in Saudi Arabia.
I've
Okay.
heard of it. Yeah, go on.
But in essence, it's called a zero gravity city, where in essence, they're designing a city where it's only 200 meters wide, 500 meters high, and 170 kilometers long, where there's going to be one means of transport, which is one train that runs throughout the whole thing, and you can live within your community within a certain area and have everything accessible within 5 minutes. The concept's crazy, but they're building it. When you see it online, they're building it. It's unimaginable, but it's the whole point is integrating a new way of living, because they've seen how cities have been built in the past, and then the deficits that it's been created in society and communities, right? And now Saudi Arabia, being the new carte blanche, the blank canvas, actually, let's create this new way of living, where we're now, if imagine a world, or imagine society, where everything is integrated virtually and physically, generative AI or artificial intelligence, where they're thinking already what you as a human are going to be doing. So if you're getting up in the morning, it knows you're going to be walking down the street, and it's already prepping you for the situations that are going to happen way ahead of you. So that it's there to support you as a human. Now, these are ideas, and I know there's a lot of critics about AI in itself, who is in power and who's not. I know that I get that, and I probably don't completely understand that just yet. It blows my mind on how or where things are going.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I'm thinking finally, you mentioned like the Meta glasses, right? When I saw it and I knew we were going to be speaking, really, I thought, oh, that could be something that Joel will work on because he's the sort of person that could be creating some of the like the layers on top of the real life scene. What did you think about that when you saw those? And
Yeah, I mean, it's been in the making for a while. I think it's just another tool. I think it's a tool that's going to help in help create a space and form, where I'm just quite passionate about that. I'm passionate about creating spaces and forms where there's a narrative, and it evokes an emotion. It's the artist, call it the artist in me. But I think that's something that I always want to always be creative. And I think you've got to be at the forefront of your thinking to be effective, and working out what energizes you. And those are the things that kind of fully energize me. It's like, okay, I've got this new tool. How am I going to use it? And I'm kind of watching and seeing how different people are using it. Okay. And I mean, also the affordability of that, it's crazy.
yeah.
Cost, but that will come down, just like a lot of these other tools. The cost of it come down depending on the demand. If I'm a designer, I'm always thinking, what tools am I going to use to make my life better? If I'm just your average Joe, and I say average Joe, and put it respectful, but if I'm your average Joe, how am I going to use this new tool to help me? Like, something like ChatGPT changed the game when it comes to prompting an email. or a response. You know, that someone would spend maybe 4 hours just kind of writing an email to a client where you could prompt it and it actually just does a great job within a few minutes.
Amongst people that you work with, is there a little bit of a fear around AI, or are you in a group of people who are like pretty optimistic about the way artificial intelligence is going and technology?
Yeah, there's a bit of both. I think, yeah, I mean, you know, in my industry, people like to stick to the way they do things, right? Because they work well. Certain things work, and but there's always better ways to do that. And I've always been, it's a mindset. I've always been that, well, how can we do things better? Why are we still doing the same way? And sometimes you can find yourself being stuck. So I've always thought of technology as part of your day-to-day. It's not something separate. And it's there as support, just like anything else. And this fear about, I feel it's obviously induced by, media. And also it's a fear of the unknown. I think us as humans, you always have this fear of the unknown, but we really try and feel the fear and face it anyway.
Good man.
Yeah, but you do get people who are not going to want to do that. They were like, "Oh, you go try that mushroom first. You go try it." And it's like, or if you try it and you don't die, okay, then we'll do it. But you need those people that are going to try it, going to be the risk takers, and actually going to try and pioneer new grounds and all that. And I think sitting on the sidelines has its place, but then you never get you'll never you'll just stay stagnant. And I think we as human beings are multi-dimensional. Like, think about it. Like, we're multi-dimensional. We have the ability to look to the past, be present, and create this future. So we have to learn, we have to be, and we have to create. And I think it's a fascinating thing we've got, this brain of ours, this body, and us as human beings. We're doing pretty good. And
Yeah.
you're right, that can sound a little bit too optimistic, but I'd rather be the optimist.
That's really good. Thank you so much for your time, mate. If people want to check out where you're at, are you on like socials? Where do you want to head to point people towards?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've got my social media. It's Joel Trin underscore design, and then I just got my website, which is joeltrindad.com.
Cool, Joel. Thank you so much, mate.
No worries. Thank you for the opportunity. I think just to have a good chat and with someone else, it's almost just geeks out about these new texts.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much to Joel as well for taking the time out to chat to me. And I'll be back with the regular episodes and news roundups next week. Bye.